Today's daf is Nun Bet, back to learning together. We're going to start at the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Bet. We're in the middle of a sugya of a very famous machloket, we'll see why soon, between Abaye and Rava about Kiddushin She'em Surin Lebi'ah. That if you have a marriage where it's not possible, it's not allowed for the husband to sleep with the wife, or for the husband and wife to sleep together, then therefore there's a machloket about whether it can even be a Kiddushin or not. Okay? If the two people, let's say, okay, the case in the Mishnah given that there was a machloket about whether this is exactly Kiddushin Surin Lebi'ah or not, but let's say a man is Mekadesh, one of two sisters, and it's not clear which sister he was Mekadesh, or this is one of the cases brought up, he's not clear which one. So then we say that since he's not sure which one, either one is potentially the sister of his wife who he can't sleep with. So therefore, he can't actually sleep with any one of them, and that's Kiddushin Shem Surim Lebi'ah. According to Abaye, this is a good Kiddushin. According to Rava, it's not a good Kiddushin. So we're in the middle. I'm going to start at the Tashma, five lines from the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Bet. We're going to talk about, we're bringing cases to try to prove Abaye is correct. Okay, we'll start with Refuah Shleimot, and then we'll get into the Gemara. Refuah Shleimot, L'dvar Batina, Osav Ram Shem Ben Chana, Orli Pnina Baruch Afrida Chai, Amak Esther Bat Zipporah, Diyosef Ben Rachel, Eba Rivka, Yael Mirim Bat Chai, Irina Chai Bat Shoshana, Yaakov Ben Rosa, Daphna Chai Bat Sara, Tai Recha Bat Tamar Sara, Alexander Ziskin Ben Menucha, and Lilon Ishma Chana Bat Atara, Reza Bat Sara, Tzvi Hirsch Ben Yaakov Halevi Umela. Okay, so the case we're going to bring now to try to prove again that Abaye is right, that Kiddushin She'em Mesurin Lebi'ah is not is Kiddushin. Tashma shnayim shekidshu shtei achayot, ze eino yodea is a kiddush, v'ze eino yodea is a kiddush. So two men marry two sisters, and neither one knows which one they married. Okay, so now ze notein shnei gitim v'ze notein shnei gitim. What's the issue? Right, they're each potentially married to two sisters. They each can't sleep with the other sister because, well, they can't marry the other sister. They can't be married because she's potentially, but they don't know which sister. So she's potentially the sister of his wife. So basically, they're stuck. So what do? They each give a get to each one. Okay? So what do you see? If they need to give a get, it means the Kiddushin was good. If the Kiddushin was good, then what do you say? Well, it must be Kiddushin Shem Mesurin Lebi'ah is Kiddushin. So now they're going to say, no. The same answer they gave to the few cases before. Hachanami shehukru ulevasof nitarvu. It was a case where they knew very well which one they married. It was after that they got confused, right? It sounds like the confusion with the babies, right? You had a baby and then, you know, right, the babies got switched with Shlomo HaMelech. They don't know who's who. It's that, you know, in that case, obviously, they each gave birth to a child. Here they each actually married a woman knowingly, meaning the Kiddushin was a good Kiddushin. But down the road, it got confused, right? They got confused as to which one was which. Daikanami de Katani, which means that what? It's not a case of Kiddushin Shem Mesurin Lebi'ah. So then it doesn't prove anything. We can also prove this from the words of the Braita, because what does it say? Eino yodea, velo katani ein yadua. It says they don't know which one. It doesn't say it wasn't known. It wasn't known ever. It sounds like it was known, just right now they don't know. Shema mina. So then they say, well, ihachi mai lememra. So then what's the chiddush, right? Obviously, they're each going to need to give their wives a get if it got confusing who's who, and then obviously they're going to have to. So say, no, it's true this case was obvious, but why did they bring it? Because they need to teach the continuation. Seifa itzri chale. Why? What's the seifa? Well, what happens down the road? So let's say they each married two sisters. They each knew who they married. Then the wives, it got confusing who was who. Then they had to give them each gitin.
And what if they give the wrong one again?
No, they each have to give both gitin. Each one has to give each woman a get to make sure. But now what happens if before they give a get, mate? Okay? If one of them die before, right? Now what's going to happen? So obviously they don't have kids, so they need to do yibum. Okay? But what's the issue? Right? So there's two guys married to two sisters. Now, these two guys aren't brothers. So each of their brothers now is chayav in yibum. However, each of their brothers can't do yibum because...
Is it two brothers that married two sisters?
No, this is not. This is two men.
With other brothers.
Okay. There's two sisters here. Okay, they're sisters. And then each one has a husband, right? Who aren't related. And one of them dies. And now he has a brother. Okay? So now, or if both of them die. Okay, so now, l'ze'ach or l'ze'ach. So what has to happen? Zeh choletz l'shtehen v'zeh choletz l'shtehen. Okay? Zeh l'ze'ach. Sorry, okay. Right, so in the case where each one has one brother, so each brother has to do chalitza, right? The brother of this one has to do chalitza, the brother of that one. Why can't they do yibum? Because if he does yibum, and it turns out it was achot zikukato, what does that mean? The sister of the woman he's supposed to, let's say, he thinks he's married to this one, so he died, his brother goes to do yibum with her, but it turns out it wasn't her, it was her sister who he was supposed to really marry. In which case, it's achot zikukato, which is an iser derabanan. Okay, achot zikukato is the sister of the woman you're supposed to do yibum with. That's an iser derabanan. So therefore, each one does chalitza, and that's fine. But if lezeh echad or lezeh shnayim, but if there were two brothers to one of these guys, okay? So this guy has two brothers, two potentials to do yibum. So then what happens? Ha'echad choletz l'shtehen. Okay, the first brother, where there's only one brother, so he does chalitza to both first. After he does chalitza, now what's the issue? The one who was really married now is free to marry anybody she wants. The one who wasn't really married still has to do chiyuv yibum with the brothers of the other guy. So it reminds you of all the yibum stuff.
Well, not if you have chalitza with her, then she's free.
If the first wife, okay, the first wife, let's say, who was really married to the first brother, the first guy, now his brother did chalitza, so she's patra. But the second wife is now married, was married to the second guy who died. Now, what happens here? Now, it's both of them. Both of the guys died. Okay? So now, someone has to take care of her in terms of her yibum, right? So the first guy did chalitza to both because he doesn't know which one is which, in which case he'd be marrying achot zikukato if he did yibum. The second guy's brothers, so now there's two brothers. So in this case, what could happen? Ashnaim, achad choletz ve'achad miyabim. The first one does chalitza to both, because maybe one of them, right? Once he does chalitza, yeah, so the second one, in theory, can marry her if he wants to, because either she's free to marry because she was really married to the first guy, or, and then he can marry anybody, or if she's really the one who had chiyuv yibum, then he's allowed to marry her.
Does he have to?
Does he have to? No, he doesn't have to. He can't.
Just because she did chalitza, so she's free also.
Right, she's free also. But, oh no, sorry, I made a mistake. Wait, I want to explain better. The first brother does chalitza to the first woman, to one woman, right? Once he does chalitza to one woman, so she's taken care of, right? If she was really the wife. If she wasn't the wife, so he did chalitza to someone who wasn't. The second one now has to deal with the second sister. So he can either do yibum and do his chiyuv yibum if he wants, right? Or he can marry her because she has nothing to do with him and she really belongs to the other guy. You follow? So either which way, in other words, once there's two brothers, then we have each one deal with a different woman. And then that allows us to do yibum if he would want to. And then he can actually fulfill yibum. He doesn't have to. Both can do chalitza. But at least in this case, there's a potential that one of them could actually marry her. But that's only under condition that first, guy who had a single brother went first and took care of the chalitza for his wife, so that she's now free to marry anyone but Shuk. Otherwise, right, so here we're going to read in a second, im kidmo v'kinso emotzin oto mi adam. Okay? If one of them earlier, in other words, first they married the woman before they took care of chalitza, so then we don't force them to divorce. Why? Because it was only an issur d'rabbanan of achot zikukato. That's the worst, okay? The worst that can happen is an issur d'rabbanan, so we don't force them to get divorced. But what are they telling you now, though? But ideally, dafka michlatz v'hadar yibume. Okay, first you have to take care of chalitza. The first brother has to take care of chalitza. And then the second brother of the second guy is allowed to do yibum v'hadar yibume. Aval yibume v'hadar michlatz lo. Dekapaga b'yibama l'shuk. But if first they do yibum, since we don't know who she belongs to, potentially he could be marrying the yivama, the other guy.
Which
would be Isser Doraita. Okay? That's the Isser Lav of Lo Tiyeh Chutza L'Ish Zar, right? It's not an Isser Arayot of like your brother's wife, right? That would be another potential problem. But the other issue would be, which isn't an issue here because you're fulfilling the mitzvah of yibum, But here it's the Isra Lava that she, until she takes care of her Yibum, she's not allowed to marry anybody else. And he's a stranger to her if she wasn't really supposed to be married. Okay, that was all. Why did we bring this? To try to prove Abaye, the Kiddushin Shemisrim Labia is Kiddushin. In the end, we said, no, this isn't even a case of that because you could explain it in a way that, and it seemed like the words of the Mishnah, that at the time of Kiddushin, he actually knew who he was marrying. So that's not the issue. Next case. Tashma, let's learn from here. Ditani Tavyume, Lezecha Mishabanim, Ulezecha Mishabanot. Okay, one guy has five sons, one guy has five daughters. Sounds like the Brady Bunch or something, right? Va'amar Echat Mibinotecha Mikudesh Lechami Banai. And he says, the fathers say to each other, one of your sons is going to be married to one of my daughters. But he doesn't say, now this is clear, he doesn't say which one. Okay, now in this case, what's going to be the issue, right? That each one. Now, nobody can marry anybody here because all of them are potential arayo. Because since we don't know which one he's married to, so anyone could be, right, let's take it the boys, anyone could be his wife's sister. So therefore, what do we have to do here? Right? If we had like Rava, what would we say? There's no kiddushin, so therefore there's no need for anything. Okay? But since we're trying to prove Abaye's point, what does it say here in this braita, which seems to prove it very well, that each one of them needs to give, each brother gives five gitin to each of the five daughters in case she's the one that he, in this, he's the one that was married and she's the one he was married to, since we don't know, right? He has to give to everybody. What if one of the brothers dies? So now it has to happen. Right? If he was the brother, and if he, right, so then he was potentially married, but we don't know to which one. So what has to happen? Okay? He gives a get to four, and chalitza, every brother gives a get to four of the sisters, and it does chalitza to one of them. Because if he does chalitza, right, in other words, we learned this in Yevamot, if you remember, each woman gets chalitza by a different brother. Okay? So you have four brothers, but there's five sisters. So how does she get?
She gets right, four the bills brothers. Of divorce. Each daughter gets four bills of divorce.
Right, but the question right. is, each, only four guys.
And she, right.
So you're missing a chalitza.
Right, who does chalitza to the fifth one? I guess somebody one guy does chalitza twice, right. So everybody needs four gitin and a chalitza from one of them. Okay, right, so it must mean that one of the brothers has to give chalitza to two. Okay, so now, again, the Gemara is going to now go back to our point about Abaye. V'chite mahachinami, if you want to say, just like we said in all the other cases, right, we only did in one case today, but in the previous cases also they said this, that it's kishu kru levasof nitavu, that it was good kiddushin originally. They knew exactly who it was in the beginning, and after it got confusing, you can't possibly say that because ha'achat mibnotecha lachami banai katane. Right, he says, one of your daughters to one of my sons, which means, clearly, it wasn't clear from the beginning. And therefore, tiyuvta de Rava tiyuvta. They end with the fact that this is a good question on Rava. We don't have a good answer because it seems clear that this is a kiddushin she'em misurin lebiya that can't possibly be consummated. And therefore, we still treat it as a kiddushin, so it must be we hold like Abaye. And now the Gemara says, v'hilchata kavatei de Abaye bi'al kegam. Okay, the halacha is like Abaye in these six cases. It's very famous that we follow always Rava against Abaye when they argue. But, except for these six cases, and this is one of them, okay? I'd love to go through all the six cases, but we get to them at different points, and right now the Al-Kagam is the Rashi Tevot, it's Yehush Shalom Midat, it's Edim Zomimim, from when is he Nipsal Lemafreah, from the time he did something from retroactively, or do we say only from the time that we find out he was an Ed Zomim, he was lying. There's Lech Yaomei Me'elav, which is when you build an Erev, you have to put a Lechi, okay? I said I wasn't going to explain, but I'm explaining some of them. If there's a Lechi already there, like a built-in Lechi, then can you use it or not? Abaye says you can. Kuf is the Kiddushin case. Gimel, we saw in Gitin, it's Giloy Milta Beget. Remember the guy, the woman was embroidering? What did I say? Giloy Da Beget. Right. Did I say something different? Oh, sorry. Giloy da beget, is it milta or not? Is it something or not? In other words, giloy da beget, does it count or not? That was the case where the woman was weaving, he sent the shaliach to give her the get, and then what happened? She said, oh, I'm busy weaving, come back tomorrow. And then he went back to the husband and told him, and the husband said, ah, baruch hatov ameitiv. So he said, what does that mean? Does it mean Baruch Atah Vemetiv? Oh, great. And therefore, basically he doesn't want to give the get and the Shalichut is canceled. Can't give the get. Or do we say, no, until he says the words Haget Batel, if he didn't say that, then the get isn't canceled. So that's Giloy Milta. It means Giloy Dat. Thank you. You're right. I said Giloy Milta. Giloy Dat, the get, is it Milta or is it not? Is it something or not? And the mem is Mumar Ochel Nevela Lahachis. If you are you puzzled to be an aid if you eat nivela, not because you don't want to pay the money for the expensive kosher meat, okay? If you don't want to pay the money for the expensive kosher meat, then we're gonna say, we're concerned that money is a motivator for you, and therefore you can't testify because we're worried you're gonna take money to testify. But if you don't do it lahachis, because you just don't want, you're lahachis about it, then that doesn't show that you're gonna take money to lie. It just shows you don't care about the Torah. But it doesn't mean you're gonna lie and take money to lie. So therefore, Abai says you're not a pasul eid. Rava says you are. Okay, Yehoshua, we got it and get into it anyway. We'll get into it soon when we get to Bava Metzia. Okay. Maseh b'chamesh nashim. Amar Rav. Okay, so now we have to go back to the Mishnah for a minute. Okay, so turn back. The Mishnah on Nun Amud Bet says like this. Okay, it started with HaMekadesh Isha U'bita O Isha V'Achota Ke'echat. Okay, which the Pshat sounded like there were two ways of reading this. One like Abai, one like Rabbi. I'm not going to get into all the details. But if you marry a woman and her daughter or a woman and her sister at the same time, they're not mekudeshot. Okay? Umaseh b'chamesh nashim, ubahen shtei achayot. There was a case with five women, and among them were two sisters. V'liket adam echad, kilkel. Now we have to pay attention to the details here. A guy took a kilkelah shel te'anim, a basket of figs, v'shelahen haita, and the figs actually belonged to the women. Okay? V'shel shvi'it haita, and they were Peirot of Shvi'it, okay, so from the Shnata Shemitah. What?
Which means they were Hefker.
Which means they were Hefker, so exactly. They didn't really belong to them because they were Hefker, okay? Ve'amar, hare kulchem mekudashot li b'kilkelazo. And he said, all of you are married to me with this basket of figs. B'kibla achat mehen al yedei kulan. One of them can accept it on behalf of all the other women and become a shaliach for all the other women to be married. Amru chachamim ein achayot mekudashot. The sisters are not married, but everybody else in this picture is married. Okay, now the pshat of this seems to imply, like Rava, that why are the sisters not married? Because kiddushin she'em esurin libiyah, right? The two sisters can't possibly be married by this because you can't marry two sisters at once, and therefore it's not kiddushin. But Abaye says no, it's based on this thing, which was exactly how the Gemara started, which was on Nun Amud Bet, that you can't isha lachotah lo tikach litzror, and they said this teaches you that if you were to marry one, then you can't marry the other. Okay, if you can't do one after the other, once you marry one sister, you can't marry her other sister. Then you can't marry if you were to do both bevat achat, it wouldn't work. Okay, so he doesn't think it has to do with kiddushin shem sirin libiyah. He explains it differently. Okay, so just keep this in mind as we go on. So now, Amarav, Shma Minami Matnitin Arba. There's four halachot we can learn from this Mishnah. V'nakit Rav V'yadei Tzlat. Okay, so Rav says we can learn four things from this Mishnah, but I'm only accepting three of them. Okay, in other words, one I don't accept. Okay, we'll see why in a minute, and that's going to have to do with this Kiddushin Chain's Mr. In Libyan. In the end, what are they going to say? He doesn't hold like the fourth because it can be explained, like I said, this Mishnah can be explained either like Abai or like Rav, and therefore he doesn't learn from here about whether Kiddushin Shem Mitzvah Mitzvah is Bia or isn't based on Rav or Abai's understanding of this mission. So what are the things that we can learn? Shema Mina, HaMekadesh B'Perot Shvi, Mekudeshet. What do we learn about Perot Shvi? You have to eat them. They're for you, Le'ochla. You can't sell them. But what do we learn here? Even though you can't sell them, and in theory they're supposed to be for you to eat, you could also use them to marry someone if you wanted to. Ushma Mina, Kidsha B'Gezel, Eina mikudeshet. If you marry her with something you stole, stolen property, you're not married. Okay? And that's what Ruth was saying. But clearly, what are they pointing out here? That they were perot shvi'it, that it was hefker, and therefore he owned them. But if they really were shelahen, and they weren't perot shvi'it, and they really belonged to the women, you wouldn't be able to marry him with them because he'd be stealing them. Okay, now they're going to say, afilu begezel dida, even if he steals from her. Now, what's the chiddush? Obviously, if you steal from someone else and try to marry with it, you can't use that because that's not, you don't own it. But what are they saying here? Okay, we're going to talk about this. Maybe you do. We'll see other opinions later. But in theory, you don't own it. And the second thing is, what if you took her fruits, her property, and then you returned it to her and said, with the returning of your property, I'm going to marry you with that. And basically, how would that work? Because she's saying, I mochel you on the fact that you stole it. I'll accept it back as a gift. In other words, she can, if it's someone else's property, like if I stole this pen from somebody else and I tried to marry someone with it, well, obviously, this she can't be mochel on it, but if it was her own and I give it back to her and I say, I'm returning this to you, but if she accepts it as marriage, she could be saying, yeah, I know you stole it from me, but I'm accepting it back as a gift. Like I'm mochel you on the fact that you took it, you can that it can sort of be yours to give to me. Okay? So now they're saying, even begezel dida wouldn't work. Okay? Mimai, how do we learn this? Mi dekatani shalahem aita v'shal shvi'it aita. Ta'ama d'shvi'it tehefker. Exactly as Ruth said, since it was shvi'it, it was hefker. But ha d'shar shnei shavua lo. But if it belonged to fruits from a different year, it wouldn't work. Ushma mina. Okay, because if you had taken her fruits from a different year that weren't hefker, it wouldn't work. Ushma mina. Isha na'aseit shaliach l'chaverta. Okay, a woman can be a shaliach for somebody else, even if she's now going to become her tzara. If you remember, we learned in Yevamot that a tzara is not believed for what? If to say that the husband died. Remember? Because we're worried she's trying to mess up the other woman. Okay? So we don't trust her. But here, even though we don't trust her, this isn't an issue of trusting or not. This is an act. She performed an act of shlichut for the second wife, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth in this case, right? We allow her to do that, okay? V'idach mahi. Now, what's the fourth thing? So those are the three things he learned that he agreed with. And what's the fourth? Can you shouldn't shame Mr. Libya? Right? So now they say v'nich shaveh. Why don't we say it? So the answer is because mishum de'misapkalei ika by ika rabba. Okay, you didn't know how to explain the Mishnah. He said the Mishnah can be explained in two ways, either like Abai's reading or like Rava's reading. Now, what's funny about this? Rava. No. Rav lived before Abaye and Rava.
Oh.
Okay, forget about that we already accepted Abaye. That's way later. Okay, but what's the point? The point is that Rav didn't know how to read the Mishnah because the Mishnah could be read in two different ways, which eventually, right, Rav and Abaye are going to explain them that way. But since it's not clear cut, so we're not gonna pass it. Okay. Kisalik Rabbi Zera, Amar l'hashmata kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. When Rabbi Zera went to Eretz Israel, he taught this. What Rav said about these four things in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Mi amar Rav Hachi? Did Rav really say this?" By the way, we've seen a bunch of sugyas like this where they bring Rav's Torah to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Did he really say this?" And the same thing happens here exactly, which is what they say. V'hulo amar. What do you mean? Why? How could he possibly be disagreeing with Rav? Didn't he himself agree with Rav about this case? And now we're going to talk about one of the cases, one of the things he said. About the gezel, v'ha amar Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say gazal v'lo nityashu ba'alim shnehem einam yicholim lahakdish? If he stole from someone, now here this actually goes back to the Yeush Shalom Midat that I didn't explain. Yeush Shalom Midat is talking about a case. I'll go back to it now. If I find something on the street, if I know it's clear that the owner gave up on it, let's say I find a 20 shekel bill on the floor. For sure, whoever dropped that, if it's in the middle of Rashud Arabib, no one's going to think that they're going to find that money. They're going to assume that the second they dropped it, somebody picked it up. So therefore, if I find that, I can pick it up because it's clear that it doesn't have any owners anymore. That's what the Metzia. Okay? But if it's Yeush Shalomidat, let's say I don't know for sure, maybe the owner didn't yet realize that he lost his 20 shekel, right? It's true that once he realizes, he'll be Mityaesh. But at this point, he hasn't. So that's the question of Yeush Shalomidat. Now, what if I steal something? Now, when I steal something, let's say you get something stolen from you. Do you think you're going to get it back? Are you Mityaesh right away? If you're Mityaesh right away, then the person who stole it has a certain ownership over it. Now, it's weird because they stole it, right? But the issue is that if they then use it for something else and they transfer, it's called Shinoi Rishut. They transfer ownership to somebody else. So like in this case, let's say he stole something and then he was Mekadesh a woman with it. Okay? So if it was after Yeush, if the owner already gave up on ever getting his item back and the Gazlan uses it to marry someone, so in theory, you could say that now she actually acquired it. because there was Yeush, so the owner doesn't want it back anymore. The Gazlan can't keep it because it's, yeah, but if he passes it on to somebody else, they got it behecha, really. They didn't do anything wrong, right? So in theory, they could.
This reminds me of the whole issue of stolen art.
Stolen art.
In trying to figure out the provenance and who owns it now, and now half of it's unsaleable because they don't know where it came from and who stole it.
That's good, a good comparison. Okay, so now they're going to say, doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say, Gazal velonit yashu ba'alim, if they'd stolen it and the owners didn't give up on it yet, shnehem einam yicholim lahakdish. Neither one can marry based on this money, not the original owner if he were to get it back, and not the gazlan. Why? Zelefi she'eno shelo. This because it doesn't belong to him, because there was no yeush, right? I was talking about a case where there was yeush. In this case, there's no yeush. V'zelefi she'eno b'shuto. And the original guy, right, who it was stolen from, it's not in his possession, so he can't marry with money, you know, something that was stolen from him. So now, what do you see here? The Rabbi Yochanan agreed with Rav that what? That if it's stolen property, you can't get married with it. So now, they're going to say, oh no, what Rabbi Yochanan really meant when he said, did Rav really say this, was more like, Hachi Karmale, mi amar Rav kavati, did Rav really say this? Oh cool, because I hold this, and how nice to know that Rav said what I said. We've seen this before, by the way, which would make sense in terms of, you know, Rav was the first Emora, right? Rabbi Yochanan was a little bit like with first to second generation, so he, you know, it was like a, oh wow, great that Rav said that. Okay, made today. Now we're going to have a question on this, though. Kitsha begezel b'chamas u'b'gneva. If he marries her with some stolen, something he stole, with chamas, that's when you steal something but pay the money for it, okay, but it's still not allowed, or b'gneva, okay, what's the difference between gzela and gneva? Gzela you do in front of their face, like armed robbery, okay? Gneva you do secretly, okay, while they're sleeping or something, or you go into their house and you take it while they're not there. Or he grabbed money from her and married her with that, right? He pickpockets her and then goes and marries her with it. What is this bright to say? Mikudeshet. Ah, she's married. So what do they try to answer? Hatam begezel dida. Okay, this is talking about if it's stolen from her. Okay, now this doesn't make any sense because if you remember, Rav said, even if it's stolen from her, it's no good. But the first answer they're going to give him, the Gemara is going to ask, how can you even give this, is it's when he stole it from her and that's why it works. So they say, first of all, first question is, how can you even say that that's what the source is talking about? Hamidikatane Seifa, only, there were four cases. Gezel, Hamas, Gneva, and then Chataf Selami Adavi Kitsha. So if it says in the Seifa, Osha Chataf Selami Shela, Michlal Deresha Begezel Da Almaskina, right? It sounds like the other three cases were just regular, stealing from anybody, and then tries to marry her with it. So how could you say that it was, you know, we're going to have two problems. Number one, how can you say it was Gezel Dida, right? Because it doesn't sound like it was. And then we're going to ask the other question, which is, that still contradicts Rav, because Rav said even Begezel Dida, you can't marry her, right? But that Hava Mina here is that if he stole from her and he returns it to her, just like I said before, maybe that she was Mochel the Gzela. Okay, or the Gneva. So now they say, no. First of all, it's not a problem with the words of the Braita, the Gezel, Hamas, Gneva, and then only the last case says, O Shechataf Salam Yada, because Perusha Kamifarish. The last case comes to explain all the previous three cases. Kidsha Begezel, Hamas, Begneva, Ketzad, Kigon, Shechataf Salam Yada, Bekidsha. Boom. Okay? So that's the first thing they're going to say. So now they could potentially explain that this Braita was, it was stolen from her, but now they're going to say, Vika'ama Rav enem kudeshet? But didn't Rav himself say, now we go back to the first question, which is, didn't Rav say whether it's Gezel Dida or whether it's Gezel of somebody else? In either case, it's good. So again, we still have a contradiction from this Braita on what Rav said. So now they're going to answer Lo Kashya. Ha de Shadich, ha de Lo Shadich. It's going to depend on whether they had already had a previous agreement of marriage or not. If they had already talked about marriage and said, you know, we're going to get married, okay, then we're going to say that he returns some stolen item of hers, you can assume that she was mochel. But if they hadn't yet previously talked about marriage and he stole something from her and gave it back to her and said, with this I'm marrying you, then it doesn't work. Okay, and that's what Rav was talking about. When Rav said Gezel Dida doesn't work, that was in a case where there was no previous arrangement, okay, that they were planning to get married. This, by the way, we've talked about, we missed the sugya's learning it together, but this whole thing of shiduch, okay, we talk about that our erusin has no halachic implications, right? Because our erusin isn't the erusin they had then, right? Our engagement, man proposes to a woman or a couple decides to get married, that's an engagement that has no halachic significance. However, we see in some of the sugyas that there was a little bit of a halachic significance to it, and that's here. So once they agreed to get married and they kind of had some sort of engagement, then, right, not kiddushin, but then there's a different status. So if he returns her stolen item, then, at least according to this answer, you could say that there was a good marriage. Hahi itita, there was a woman, dehava kamashe kare b'mishchala demaya. She was washing her feet, right? I think that's what it means. She was washing her feet with a cup of water. Atahu gavra, okay, you could see maybe this attracted him, I'm not sure exactly what, but a guy comes over, chatav zuze michavre, he steals money from, like he grabs money from his friend, vishadala, and he gives it to her. Amrla mikadeshetli, okay, you're married to me. So now he goes in front of Rav and says, what's the story? Am I really married to her? Am I not? Did this work or did it not work? You know, meaning, I guess, if he didn't want to be married to her, he has to give her a get. Amar, late to chash lahad Rabbi Shimon. To Amar, stam gezele yeush ba'alim have. So what does he tell him? He tells him, nobody holds like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that if you, a stam gezele, the assumption is if he grabbed money from his friend, right? So this is gezele, not geneva. Right, so what would you say? If there was Yeush Ba'alim, right? Because remember, the whole case where they said about it doesn't work is if the Ba'alim were not Mityashim, they didn't have Yeush. But if he stole it from his friend, so the question is, okay, now there's a big machloka between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim, do we assume that if somebody, right, you get mugged on the street, do you think you're going to get your money back? So Rabbi Shimon held, if somebody steals money from you, and you know who stole it from you, so... But since he grabbed it from you and he ran off, you're never going to find the guy again. So stam gezela, Rabbi Shimon says it's yeush ba'alim. But geneva wouldn't be yeush ba'alim, because geneva, you can always hope that you're going to find whoever came and robbed your house. Chachamim say the exact opposite. When it's armed robbery or some sort of robbery, you know who the guy is, so you're going to, so I'm going to go track that guy down. When it's geneva and you have no clue who stole from you because you never saw the person, then you're going to have yeush because you have no hopes of ever finding him. So they have a machloket about when are we going to assume this yeush ba'alim. So in this case, what would you say? The only way it would work is if when he stole the money from his friend and then married her, that the friend was mityeush right away. He never thought he was going to get the money back. Chavri, by the way, I don't think necessarily means his friend. It just means someone who was standing there. Okay? And then we say... We don't hold like Rabbi Shimon, who would say Sheish Balim. If we held like Rabbi Shimon, then you would say the Balim or Yashim. And then, what did I tell you before that? As soon as he passes it on to somebody else, so between the Yeush with the Shinoi Rashut, switching who owns it, that would work and she would be able to be Konevis. But since we don't hold like Rabbi Shimon, the son of Zela is Yeush Balim, and this is a Gzela case, therefore we're going to assume that she's not, that you're not married. Okay. Hahu arisa, dekadish b'moza deshichme. Okay, there was an aris. What's an aris? An aris is someone who works on somebody's land for a sharecropper. He gets a percentage of the land, of what he collects. So he, now, what's the issue though? He gets a certain percentage, but an exact percentage, right? So if he collects, you know, X amount of 20 sheaves, so he's going to get a certain percentage of whatever they agreed to. But what happens here? This guy was Mekadesh a woman by picking up a handful of onions. Okay? He picked up a handful of onions, and the assumption is we can't measure how many onions he took. Okay? So he picked them up, and then he married her, and he said, right, Haram Mekadesh Ali with this. But what's the issue? It didn't really belong to him, because why? In order to belong to him, he had to have measured it so that the owner knows exactly how much he took. In this case, the owner has no idea how much he took. Right? It's like if you buy a few onions and you don't weigh them, right? We don't know how much you took, what the value was. So Atala Kamedu Rabbi, he goes in front of Rava, Amarle, Man Achalcha. In other words, the guy wasn't mochel you. In other words, your owner didn't say, oh yeah, you took it, no problem, it's yours. Because why would he do that? Because he has no idea how much you took. Hani Mile bin Moza, but that's only if the guy took it up with a handful. Okay, and therefore he's not married. Aval kisha matze. But if he took a bundle, since the bundles are all equal, afterwards, right, so it's true the owner of the field didn't say, you can have this bundle. However, he could say, listen, I took already one bundle. You owe me X bundles. The bundles are all even. And therefore, he could do it because here we see it. Amarle ana shakle kisha, shakilat kisha. In other words, I took a shakilat kisha, kisha ki kisha. In other words, we can all add it up after. We can say, okay, I took this, so now I'll take one less than what I'm supposed to get. Hu sarsia de kadesh bepruma de shikra. There was a guy who worked in a brewery where they made beer. So he married this woman with, now again, he was like a sharecropper where he was supposed to get a percentage of the stuff. And he married her with the dregs, the bottom parts, okay?
Didn't we see sometime in the last 2 weeks, if you marry somebody in a way that's not mechubad, it also, there are problems with it? Like, if you remember, he handed her some stuff in the shuk and says, here.
Right, so in the shuk, it's not respectful.
But this was
that
also
was in the shuk. Right, it's also not so respectful. It's true. It's not very, right. It's a good question. Okay, so he marries her with the dregs of the beer. Atamari de shichra, so now the owner comes, and he finds out what happened. Eshkache, amalei, amai lo titiv mehai charifa. He said, why didn't you give her from the better beer? If you were going to already do this, you may as well have taken the better beer. So, atal kamejo Rava, they come before Rava. Amar lo amru kalecha tzal yafot ela l'inyan truma bilvad. The only case where that works to show, in other words, what's the assumption? When the guy said that, what does it sound like he's saying?
He's approving.
He's approving. They say no. The only time that works is with truma. Okay, what's the case? Titania, and then we'll compare the two cases. Ketzad amru toreim shalomida trumato truma. If I go into your field and I take truma from your stuff without you knowing, when can we assume it works? Hare sheyarad l'toch sadeh chavero v'liket v'taram shalom b'rishut. Right, so what was the case? I went into your field, I picked some stuff, and I took truma from it. Im choshesh mishum gezel, if we're worried that I stole your stuff, so ain't trumato truma. Clearly, this isn't going to be truma. Vim lav, trumato truma. But if we're not worried that I was stealing your stuff, then the truma is truma. Now, minayin haya yodea im choshesh mishum gezel im lav, how do we know? Hare shaba bala bayru mitzao. Let's say I'm taking your truma, and then the balabayit sees what I'm doing, and he says to me, kalech etzel yafot. And he says, why don't you give truma from my better stuff? Im nimtzu yafot mehem. Now, if there really was better stuff, right, we want to know, was he telling the truth or not? So how do we know if he's telling the truth? If there really was better produce, then we assume, trumato truma, that we assume that the guy was really serious. He wasn't being sarcastic. The whole question is, this is sarcasm. This page is, right, this thing is all about, can we assume someone's being sarcastic, or can we assume they're being truthful? So if there really were nicer stuff, then we assume that he was telling the truth. Vim lav, ain't trumato truma. Okay, but if there isn't, right, if the guy says, why don't you take from my better stuff? What he's really saying is, what, do you want to take all my property? You took my finest fruits and you gave them to the Kohanim? Like, that's not what I was going to take. And then, ain't trumato truma. Hayu ba'alim milaktimu mosifim. Let's say I had taken truma, and then the owner comes over and he adds some more truma to my pile. Well, then, ben kachu ben kach trumato truma. Then we assume for sure he thought my truma was good because he never would have mixed the truma with the non-truma because then it would have messed everything up. So now, what's the difference between the truma case and this case? Aval hacha, we're going to say, we don't believe him. We assume he's being sarcastic. Mishum kisufa hu da'avid. Ve'ena mekudeshet. He was doing it to prevent the guy from being embarrassed, but he was really being sarcastic. He was trying to embarrass the guy. What? You took my beer to do this? What? You should have taken something nicer. In other words, what? You were going to take all my beer and use it? Like, that's my property. What are you doing with it? Okay, so what's the difference between the truma case and this case?
In that case, it doesn't really benefit him, the case.
Right.
The truma case, he benefited and he took his
truma. Right. It's not exactly benefiting because he took his stuff, but it's something he would have had to do anyway. It wasn't a loss for him, whereas this is a loss for the guy, in other words, he took the guy's stuff without asking. Okay. Tov, we'll start the next mission now. So that's the difference between the two cases, and therefore we assume that he was being sarcastic, okay? And therefore we don't believe him. Okay, new Mishnah. The details of this Mishnah we're going to get much more into at the end of tomorrow's daf and the beginning of the next day's daf as to what all the differences between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are. But we'll get started and we'll start with the Gemara on it. Hamekadesh b'chelko. Let's say you marry from your chelek, bein kodshe kodshim, bein kodshe kodshim kalim. Let's say you're a kohen, okay, and you have stuff that people gave you, which is kodesh kodeshim, okay, or you're a regular guy who has kodshim kalim, or you're a kohen who has kodshim kalim, right? These are two different levels. We're not going to get into all the details, but eventually we'll see them. But different levels of korbanot and things that are kodesh. So whether it's kodshe kodshim or kodshim kalim, and you marry a woman with this stuff, ena mekudeshet. Okay? If you take Maser Sheni, what do we know about Maser Sheni? You're supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. It's for eating particularly, right? And it's Kodesh. It's called Kodesh in the Torah. So if you marry her with Maser Sheni, Bein Shogeg Mei Mezi Lo Kidesh. You're also not Mekadesh her. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'Shogeg Lo Kidesh, B'Mezi Kidesh. If you did it B'Shogeg, it doesn't work. But if you did it B'Mezi, then it works. Okay, again, we'll get into this more tomorrow, but it seems like B'Shogeg, the Gemara actually doesn't get into this much, but B'Shogeg, you didn't realize it was Maser Sheni, you used it anyway, so then it works. But if you did it B'Mezid, so you're not, I'm sorry, you didn't realize you were using Maser Sheni, and you realized you were using your Maser Sheni, you never would have used it to marry her, and therefore it's no good. The assumption is if you did it B'Mezid, you intended to marry her with Maser Sheni, and he, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he thinks that Maser Sheni you're allowed to use for this purpose. But only if you intended to use it, not if it was an accident. Okay, whereas Rabbi Meir thinks no matter what, you can't use it. We'll see why later. Ube Hekdesh, what if you married her with Hekdesh? Something that was, you know, miuchad to the Beit HaMikdash. B'mezid kidesh, u'b'shogeg lo kidesh for Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda here holds the opposite. B'shogeg kidesh, b'mezid lo kidesh. Okay, we'll get into this next time. So the first thing that I was going to say is, name a matznitin zilok Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Let's assume that our Mishnah doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Why? D'tanya u'ma'ala ma'al ba'Hashem. This is a case of shvuat ha'pikadon. Somebody, you have something of someone's, and you say, and something happened to it, and you say, I swear I didn't, it wasn't me, you know, it was an accident, it wasn't mine, I didn't do it on purpose. And there we say, u'ma'ala ma'al ba'Hashem, and you were lying. You have to bring a korban and everything. Shvuat ha'pikadon, it's called. Lirabot kodshim kalim, shehem mamono, divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. If it was a case of you were watching someone's kodshim kalim and something went wrong, and you know, you did something wrong with it and you lied about it, what are we saying here? That kodshim kalim are considered your mamo. Now this would go against the Mishnah, because what did the Mishnah say? If you marry someone with kodshim kalim, you're not married. Why are you not married? Because it's not your own to do something with. Okay? So now they say no. You don't necessarily have to assume that, because afilu tema Rabbi Yossi Aglili, kikam Rabbi Yossi Aglili mechayim. Okay, now what are they going to say? We're going to say that Rabbi Yossi Aglili was talking about before you actually sacrificed it. Let's say you had an animal that you were going to bring a korban with, and then you had somebody watch it, and then they did something wrong to the animal, and they lied, and they said, it wasn't me, you know, it was some accident or something. Then that would be the case. But after the shechita, once it's actually sacrificed, then everyone agrees that it's not your mamon anymore. Even Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and the Mishnah we're going to assume is talking about after Shechita. Okay? In other words, the meat of the sacrifice when you're going to go eat it. My taima, why is that? After Shechita, everyone would agree. Because ki kazachu mishulchan gavoa kazachu. When you then get the rights to eat that food, you're basically eating God's food. So therefore, it's not yours. Yes, you're allowed to eat it. There's a heter achila, but it's not owned by you. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Aglili thinks that beforehand you could have ownership over, but not after Shechita, and therefore the Mishnah would also work according to him. Daikanami dekatane, and also it seems that way from the Mishnah, because what does it say? Look at the words, and we'll end with this today. Hamikadesh bichelko, with his portion. What happens after the sacrifice is done, right, or whatever it might be? It's divvied up between the owners of it, right? Whether it's the Kohanim or... So therefore, since it says in Mekadesh Bechalko, Bein Kodshe Kodshe, Bein Kodshe Kalim, Lo Kidesh, Shma Mina, that we're talking about Lachar Shechita, and even Rabbi Yossi Aglili would agree with that. Okay, so we tried to say maybe this isn't Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and then we say it is. And tomorrow we're going to start with the differences between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda.